evening and I'm struggling. Yeah, hey guys, who's excited to be here this morning? Yeah. So far, Boston, you have prayed, the Lord has answered. Amen. Look to the person next to you and say, the Lord has answered. Amen. Yeah. He's faithful, eh? He's so faithful. Hallelujah. Yeah, we were praying actually that before the winter comes that we get a venue, because we were thinking if we had to move all our equipment in the rain, the blood of Jesus had to protect him. Yeah, but God knows, eh? I'm going to try and turn this way as well so that I can face both of you. Can you guys see behind me? Okay. Yes, so we're still figuring out this trial and error. Yeah, welcome. So this morning I'm excited to share the word with you. The sermon title that I'm bringing this morning is Back to the Well. In our intercession and being in our prophetic prayer time on Thursday, God spoke a lot about water, about the Holy Spirit and water, and about us being a well here, placed here in Boston, not for ourselves, but for the community and the people around us. And this morning I'm going to share a bit, we're going to reflect a bit on the word God gave us as the leadership of His church. The new wine has been exciting. We are living in, we got our wineskin, guys. Hey, this is your wineskin. That new wineskin Sam was preaching about last week. This is that new wineskin God's given us, this church, this family, this building. We are here. And so now the work starts, eh? God just said, eh, I'm not just blessing it, it's only for you guys now to enjoy in your comfort. He's saying now it's time to go out and to preach the gospel to all nations. Yeah. Just some one note quickly before I continue with my sermon. The board at the back, Marielle just reminded me this morning. So those are friends of ours, personal to me, but also friends of our church who prays for us as a church. And I want you to pray for them every time you look at that board and you make yourself a cup of coffee after the service. The couple's name is Azu and Yudi. They're currently in India. India is currently going through elections. We know that since 2015, India has come from being in the top 20 of the persecuted countries. They came up to the top 15. They might strike this year top 10. Persecution is not toning down. The church are being persecuted, but God, hey, but God, are you ready for this? But the church is growing in numbers daily. Amen. Like the early church, when there are persecution, God grows, the church grows, hey? So pray for Azza and Yudi whenever you make a coffee there. They are missionaries of us, are friends of us in India. Cool. So back to the well this morning. The first slide quickly. So the new wine, which I spoke about. The next slide. Thanks, Greg, for helping me. Which I spoke about. We know that the word that God gave us was this new wine, saying, hey, guys, I'm going to do something new. It's not going to look exactly the same like it looked before. When you think it's going to look the same, you're just going to be amazed. And we've seen that since January this year, that there are constant changes happening within the church, within the way we do things. Thank you, Adon. And also, it's in the way that we look at life. Theo shared about how our word ties into what the Shofar movement has, which is the Spirit and Truth, which is the convergence theme for this year. This week, we had our first time of praying together. Yeah, it was really, really good. So, yeah, and Theo shared about how we have the Spirit of God in us, and that empowers us for the work of the ministry to go out into the world. So, when you look at the well, why is a well important for a town, a city? We know that in the book of John, the woman at the well, but before we get there, why was the well placed there? So the city, Samaria, wasn't yet there, but the well was there. Jacob and his sons dig for that well. And why did they dig for that well? Because they had livestock that had to drink from it. They had a community that had to drink from it. They had people around them that needed water in order to survive. And that was one way where God gave them to say, there's a well where you meet and where you can get water to refresh yourself and to be refreshed. Sam shared last week about the time of refreshing, and we really feel and we felt that. But why was the well so important in that time? So it's for the first source was for water, practical reasons, but it was also a meeting point where women went during the day and they went and fetched water and they had some fellowship. They walked together, some of them walked together, carried the stuff together. So there was a time of fellowship happening at the well. There was a time of just sitting at the well. Jesus just sat at the well. He just felt, I need to be here. Hey, we know that there was another thing for that. But the well became a meeting point. And this takes us to this John 4, this beautiful story which I love so much. Where the woman meets Jesus at the well. And this meeting was orchestrated by Jesus himself for a specific nation and a specific people that he wanted to get to know. Or he knew them, but he wanted to share with them the gospel. And he wanted to give them the opportunity to be redeemed. Because we know that in Samaria, what happened is that there was a split in the time of Israel. And some of the guys said, hey, guys, but Jerusalem is the place where the temple should be built. And a lot of struggle came in at the time, and there was a division that happened between those two tribes. Some of the tribes decided they want to go to Jerusalem, and then they built a temple because they felt that was the place of worship. And then Jesus actually comes and he restores that to say, hey guys, my heart is for all people of all nations to know me and to walk with me. And today at Shofar Boston, God has given us this wineskin for this venue, which is this venue. And he's pouring his new wine into us, which is his Holy Spirit. But he's also creating a well right here in this place. And why is this place placed here? Because these surrounding neighborhoods needs to know the gospel. This place must become a meeting place where they come and draw water from. And why is it important? Let's look at the woman of Samaria. So the Samaritan woman said to Jesus, who was a Jew, I'm just going to read it. I didn't put all the scriptures down there, obviously. I want to bore you the whole time. So now you know Jesus is coming from Galilee. He's on his way to what's his town again? No, a fart woman. But he was on his way somewhere. Where was he, guys? The Bible school, guys? Come on. Where was he going? So he left Galilee. And he was traveling to a different town. But there were two ways to get there. Two ways to get there. And the disciples said, but why do you want to go through that Samaria? Why? Are you crazy? Do you want to die today? Do you want us to die today, Jesus? Like, and they wanted to walk around. So this is what happens back then, that after the divide and the division happened, they went around Samaria because they didn't want it to be associated with them, one of the things, but they also were scared of them because they knew that the heart of the Father was that around about where Samaria was would have been Judea. Yeah. He was on his way to Judea. Yes. Thank you, Benny. This is coming here for dog. Hallelujah. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees heard that Jesus was making baptism, that John and then he says, okay, he left Judea and he departed to Galilee. We would have gotten there. And he passed through Samaria and he came to the town called Samaria. Near the field of Jacob and his sons Joseph, Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, where he was tired, as he was journeying and he sat beside the well, it was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, said to Jesus. So now let's look at the context of that. It's saying the sixth hour, but it's actually in the noon of the day, like at 12 in the day, like the scorching hot sun shining out there. Most women come around 10 o'clock. They gather together. Hey guys, we're going to the well. Yo, let's go. But this woman, something different with her. She doesn't come with the other woman. She comes during the hottest time of the day. Maybe she had SPS 50 that they didn't know about. But the important, what we need to understand here is that John is trying to tell us something here regarding this woman. For the disciples have gone into the city to go buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, who is this that asked me a drink? So Jesus asked her, hey, give me some water. Well, he's a practical guy. He needs some practical. He's tired. So water would refresh him. So that's the one thing they connect on a practical point. And then from there, he said to, and she asked him, are you a Jew? And you asking me a Samaritan? Like, you see the division there already? She's like already on the defense side. And then she also goes and she says something more like, sorry, there's a bit of an echo feedback. Then she says something much more that we should put our finger on. And she says, even me, a woman, which means Jew men never were allowed to speak to any woman in Samaria because of the culture back then. But we know that Jesus, he does his own culture. He turns everything upside down that everyone knew. And Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God, who is it that saying, give me a drink, you would ask him to give you the living water. And the woman said, sir, you have nothing to draw water from, and this well is deep. Where do you gonna get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? Jacob was an idol, eh? Because he was Israel, the chosen one. Was Jacob the deceiver? Then he became Israel, the chosen, God's chosen. But Jesus' response is so beautiful to her and says, he gave us as well. And Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. And here they connect for the second time. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give will never thirst again. So now they're connecting on the second point is that they're connecting that they are both needing water. But the woman is seeing a way out not to come back every day at 12 o'clock. She is now seeing, if this man can give me the living water, and he says that I'm not going to thirst again, then I'm going to not come back here. Because then I don't have to deal with all those other women who doesn't want to be associated with me because I feel ashamed of what I've done and who I have become. The water that I will give, he will come the spring of the living waters up to eternal life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I will not be thirsty and have not to come here to draw water from this well. And then Jesus goes for a heart. Then he takes her for the heart. Practically he meets her at this point and he says, okay, you have a need, I have a need. Let me meet you here. Now he's going for the heart question and he's saying, go call your husband. And we all know that the story goes on and says, but I have no husband. And he said, you are right. Because the husband that you're having now is not your husband because you had five others. We know that The Chosen takes it a little bit more. For those who haven't watched The Chosen, if you want to see how the context or the colored in version of it works, please go and watch the episode in The Chosen where Jesus actually speaks to her about the history and how she was innocent in the beginning, which you could understand in the context of what it's been said here. So, and he says, Oh, and then she asked him, oh, you're a prophet, sir. Our fathers worship on this mountain, but I say to you, Jerusalem is the place where you are to worship. The Jews said, that is Jerusalem. And this Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is come and the hour is now where you don't have to worship in Jerusalem or anywhere else. You worship what you don't know. We worship what we knew, what we know, and this salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming now and is here where true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In seeking people to worship Him. God is spirit. Spirit. And those who worship Him will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said to Him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. He has come to tell us all these things. And Jesus said, I who speak to you am He. So in that moment, as they're connecting on this thing about water, Jesus not only goes for the water practical part, but He goes for the heart. He says, I've come to redeem doubts that the enemy has stolen. And we know that when you read this thing in context and when you go read a few commentaries, that the enemy has stolen a lot from this woman. He has destroyed her self-esteem, the way she perceives herself. She doesn't want to be associated with other women, or they don't want to be associated with her because of her lifestyle. But the abuse that she's gone through has caused her to be in a specific way. And we know that is all of our stories. As we go through life, life gets sometimes the better of us. And then we end up like the woman in Samaria, where we are so destroyed and we are so turned down and beaten by this world that we don't want to be seen by others. That when we walk in the street, we walk with our street with our heads down because we are the same ashamed of what is it that we have become. And the story goes on and it says that then the disciples came back. So now the disciples come back. You'll see the scene in The Chosen. And then the woman just ran off and left the jar there and ran off into the town. So what happened there? She came for water, but she left the water jar and she ran off telling everyone, I've just met the man who has told me everything I have ever done. Beautiful. But she didn't feel ashamed in any way. She felt loved. She felt accepted. She felt seen. Hey? The Hagar slave. Hagar the slave that says, you are El Roi, the God who sees. That woman felt seen. She felt loved. And that is how God has wanted us as Shofar Boston to be today. Is that whoever walks in here must drink of the water, of the living water that we have. That we have gotten from Jesus. As we have our new wineskin and the Holy Spirit has been poured into our beings, it shouldn't stay in us. It should be outflowing into the towns, into the world, into our colleagues, into the lives of the people that we see. Greg saw a picture at our prophetic evening on Thursday where us as a church is on top and everything around us and at the bottom of us is filled by this water that's running down, which means the Spirit of God is on the move. And today for us as Shofar Boston, as we come back to the place at the well where we meet our Lord and Savior and He meets us and He restores us, let us not wait year only. Let us go into this nation. Let's be the hands and feet that Jesus has spoken us about. He has called us to be. The woman at the well was broken when she came to the well, but she left, changed a different person. If you read the story and you go on, you'll see that the whole of a town knew Jesus because of one woman's testimony. A woman they looked down at, a woman they didn't appreciate, a woman they abused, a woman they spat at, a woman that they never even could enter into the market because she was seen as unclean. But Jesus says, I will restore and I will redeem and I will make you clean, Shofar Boston. But it's not for you only. And as you walk out into this world, may the water gush out of us, that the Holy Spirit flows into every single person that we come into contact with. As the prophetic went out about this church that says, we will be a well that will flow and the rivers that will flow from this. Sam's favorite scripture that is keep on quoting, Ezekiel 43. Let the living water of the rivers flow through us, that the people around us know Jesus and they get to know Him. And as we behold and we become like Him, others around us see that and are drawn to that. But then the promise goes on, and if you look at Isaiah 58, so the story behind this is that this is something my wife added to my sermon. Thank you, love. upper management. I like it, hey? But I want to end off with this. Is where we are going. What is the plan? What is it that God wants us to do? If we pour out ourselves for hungry and satisfied, the desires, then you shall let your light rise in the darkness and you will gloom and be as noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scrupulous places and make your bones strong. And here it was the promise that He gives to us as Shofar Boston. And this is where we're starting off this new season in this new wineskin as Jesus pours in His new wine, that we are able to contain it, that we shall like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose water does not fail. So as the water flows into us, as we sit at the well, as we meet face to face with our Savior, you know the thing that we do? Be with Jesus, the life groups. Be with Jesus, becoming like Him, and doing what He did. So what did Jesus do? He met the woman at the well. She was with Him. And then she became like Him. And then she did what He did. And His thing was to spread the gospel to the world, that the world might know that the kingdom of God is here and everyone needs to repent. And that is our calling and show for Boston for this next while. God wants us to become a living water fountain garden that everyone who walks in here can drink from us. But as we spend time in our intimacy with Him, and as we be with Jesus, we are being transformed to a one degree of glory to another. So are you excited to go to walk with me in this next journey? Are you excited to be a beautiful garden out there for Jesus? Hey? That everyone who walks in here see the plants, see the beautiful trees, come and lay and under our shade and have it. But not for us, guys. Not to boast us. It's not about Shofar Boston. It's about Jesus and His finished work on the cross. Thanks, Sam. You can come up this morning. I'm just going to take some time to minister. Let's all stand together as I wrap this up. So the woman at the well, she had to go to the well. For one thing, for water. You as a person, when last have you visited your well? When last have you sat at your well? Face to face with your Savior. Recognizing Him, looking Him in the eye, saying, I have this practical need. But Him not only meeting your practical need, but meeting every single thing that you need. Because we're not only physical beings, We are spirit beings. We are three in one. And God is in the business of making sure that is in balance. That has a balance. We can only be wells out there if us ourselves are seated at the well at times. I don't say sit there and just park there and be there for years and days. But I want you to go to your well regularly so that as you get filled, you are the filled to the world out there. I show for Boston, God has not called us to work in, to focus inwardly. Not build our church from the inside, guys. The harvest is out there. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the harvest. He was tired of preaching the whole day, but he still was moved with compassion when he saw them. For they are like sheep without a shepherd. Where are your sheep without the shepherd? Where are our sheep without the shepherd? You are here, we have the shepherd. We have the great shepherd. John 10 speaks clearly about it. I am the good shepherd. And we have that shepherd. But the world out there needs him too. And how's he going to get there? Only if we go sit at the well. So for Boston, let's get back to that well this morning. There's another group that I want to pray for this morning. You struggle to get to your well. It feels like there's a wall there, and every time you get there, you walk into this wall. But then you bounce back, and then you try again, but then you walk into the wall. But Jesus is just saying, just walk around it. Allow me to take to tear down this wall for you. Allow me to come in surrender roads to me. Maybe it's the distractions of life that's causing you that. Maybe it's the busyness of life that's causing us that. If that is you, I want to come and pray with you this morning. So I want to pray for two groups of people. Theo, and if you can come up in the meantime. And Cheslin as well. Yeah, some of the other leaders. So the first group of people is that the well that you haven't been sitting at the well as well, but you want to be there. So there's a lot of distraction that's causing you not to go sit at the well. And then the other group of people that you just don't want to go there. You just don't want to sit at the well. You don't want to face the shame and the uncertainty and the suffering that you've been doing in the background. So the two people, I would love the first group of people, if you could just maybe come to this side, the left, and the others to the right. Guys, there are no condemnation. If you don't want to come now, please talk to any one of us afterwards. Don't struggle this way. In order to be the garden that God has called this church to be, and you are part of this body, we are all in it together. Do not let the enemy lie to you and say that you are not good enough. Because that's the thing that he told the woman at the well. And as soon as she got to the well, she met the Savior. The one day that she went there, she met the Savior. Let's go daily to our wells. Anyone want to respond? Anyone? Come on. Take one person to step out, guys. If that is you, if you're struggling still, please come, guys. Pray for us. Let us close our eyes quickly. Father, thank you that you are the well, Lord, that we can drink from. You are the living waters, Lord, that flows in us, Lord, and then flows through us. As we behold you, Lord, Father, cleanse us this morning. Cleanse our spirits. Cleanse our hearts. Cleanse our minds, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. We love you, Lord. Amen. We're going to give some time to minister here in front.